Turn your Bible to Psalm 118 if you want to. I really don't care whether you want to or not. Matter of fact, I don't even feel like preaching. Some say good. Name it. Don't say amen, Brother Bufford. I'm tired. I'm hungry. What else is news? I just rather be home. I threw my Bible down. What am I displaying? A bad what? Thank you. You just gave me the title of my message. Before I get into the message, I must have another disclaimer. This has happened too often to me. And by the way, my message didn't come out of Dr. Barber's book. I stole a message off somebody else, not Dr. Barber. That somebody came up and said, Brother Richard, you look pretty good on that title, on that book. I said, the reason why I look pretty good on there is because it's not me. Did you get that? It's not me. Dr. Barber would not, in his wildest imagination, use my picture on one of his books. That's over with. Attitude. What is it? An inward feeling, an outward behavior. I preach that tonight because I tell you, we all need it. Every day we need it. You say we're Christians. Every day we need it more than more. It's the way we think, feel, and act towards something or somebody. Now you teenagers, hang on, because I'm going to get on your case in just a minute. And then I'll get on the adults so you can relax in a minute too. Someone has said, attitude determines your altitude. How high are you flying tonight? I remember going to work with Dr. Barber, and early on he said, I can work with anyone who has a right attitude. Well, I made it 15 years, so I guess I kept a pretty good one. At least when he wasn't looking, I was okay, or when he was. Someone wrote this. Attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that's our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Who wrote that, Brother Rigsby? I wish I could take claim for it. Charles Swindoll wrote that. He's a neo-evangelical. I know that. But I just checked your attitude. Because we independent fundamental Baptists get a little narrow-minded sometimes. You know, we don't have the corner on the market. Get your attitude right. We're always quoting D.L. Moody, and he was a Congregationalist. We're always quoting Billy Sunday, and he was a Presbyterian. We're always quoting some of these guys, the Wesley boys, take half the hymns out of there. Get your attitude right about other people. That's all for free, folks. I just thought I'd tell you that, and we'll go right on. I know he's not our stripe, but we can take that somewhere. Start with the right attitude. Psalm 118, please. I'm going to help you out tonight. Help me out. I'm preaching. They say when preachers preach, they preach to themselves. So you can go to sleep. I'm going to talk to Brother Rigsby. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Start the day. Start the day with the Lord. A lot of you quote this. You just didn't remember where it's at. This is the day which the Lord what? Hath made. Now you get out of bed and quote that, that's going to help you for the rest of the day. Now that's not the end of it. We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. We start our day with the right attitude. And you've heard me tell you, before you get out of the driveway, Satan's going to test you on your attitude. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. Deuteronomy 33, 25. Let me give you the context here. Moses is getting ready to go home. I mean, with the Lord. He is giving blessings to each tribe. Deuteronomy 33. He comes to the tribe of Asher, verse 24. There's another blessing about starting day with the Lord, getting a right attitude, off and running. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And listen to this last part. And as, boy, I'm taking, at age 65. Actually, I'm almost 66. Peggy hates for me to add that extra 6 months on, but I feel 66, although I'm 65. But here's the promise. And as thy days, read it to me, so shall thy strength be. You know what I get in that? You know what kind of attitude I get in that? Lord's going to give me the strength to get through the day, no matter what it is. That'll give me, and that'll give you a better attitude. If you, and by the way, you said, well, it's given to Asher. Listen, it's all for us. Amen? All for us. Write down four things. Our attitude cannot be based on. Let me repeat it. Our attitude cannot be based upon a people. I always said the ministry would be a great place without money and people. I don't know what'd be left. People bug me. That's why I got to get a better attitude. Amen. Some of you full-time people in here say amen. Or oh me. People. I'm like most of you now, I'm trying to conserve gas. And I was, Brother Tommy, Tommy's a policeman in Duncanville. I'm glad you weren't on duty. I was going to Tommy's daddy's funeral Friday, and I left out here and I thought, you know, I'm going to practice this. They say if you stay 60, stay on 60, you'll save a lot of gas. So I got out on the freeway and I said, I'm going to try this. And I got in the right lane, and boy, it's awful hard for Tommy goes here, awful hard for Brother Rigsby to stay on 60. I'm point A to point B. But I said, I'm disciplining myself to stay 60. And I did, all the way there and back. And I'm going in the right lane. But boy, were people passing me by. And I'm glad I'm not a lip reader. But you know what? I didn't speed up. I'm not going to let other people affect my attitude towards them or what I do. Second thing, things. Don't base your attitude on things. Remember that new car and the smell? And you get three new kids in there and the smell? Doesn't stay, does it? You get a bad attitude about it. How about circumstances? Uh-oh. That'll do it. Brother Rigsby, you just don't know the mess I got. I probably don't, folks, but give me time, I'll share them. By the way, when somebody says to make a long story short, they're only saying that to tell another story. Don't let circumstances affect you. And then physical handicaps. But I don't know about you, but I find out folks with physical handicaps with the right attitude, they're awful sweet people. There's a few on ruins because they've taken a bad attitude about it. Now, teenagers, you ready? I'm going to try to help you out, Tyler. I may mess you up. I don't really like this thing, but it allows me to move around and I can get Pentecostal. Teenagers, listen to me. You're going to camp, most of you. And let me tell you, the best thing I can do for Brother Tyler is tell you to get your attitude right. Don't let people or things or circumstances affect you. What are you talking about, Brother? The food you get isn't going to be what Mama going to give you. And I can just sit one of you and go, ugh. Can I also tell you this, teenager? That bed is probably not going to be those satin sheets to lie on and to cry on, whatever that song is. Isn't it going to be like home? I won't hear a bad attitude out of you. Brother Dean might miss the road tomorrow. It's all right, you need to see the neighborhood. But you give me a teenager with a good attitude and we can do something. Let me tell you the attitude you need to go into, young people, this week. It's not whether I'm going to win this ball game or whether we're going to win the dorm clean or whatever they do. It's my attitude is, Lord, speak to me. Amen. Speak to me about my life. And Lord, not what I want to do with it. Lord, what you want to do with it. Now, I'm not going to walk that far. I see more teenagers over there, but if I walk that far, I'll never get back. Counselors, listen to me. Your attitude will affect their attitude. And one of the big truths is attitudes, your wrong attitude will affect somebody else's wrong attitude. Amen? Counselors, I promise you, if you complain about the food, they're right behind you. I had a coach up in Christian school in Holland, Michigan. I told him, I said, if you ever get a technical in basketball as a coach, you're laid off 3 games. You know why I told him that? Because he's setting an example. A wrong attitude will rub off. Amen? So I've already covered the counselors and the kids. It's all yours, Brother Tyler. Get the rest of them to do it. Watch your attitude. I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, please. We're going to look at a situation that will be very similar to what I told you to about affecting people. When you find it, wait on Brother Rigsby, okay? Right before Job, you'll come to Esther and then Ezra and Nehemiah in chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, let me set the scene for you. Nehemiah has been had a call to the wall. I think you're familiar with the story. In chapter 2, he challenges them. He says, about the good hand of the Lord upon me. Boy, good attitude. He came in with an attitude that we can get this thing done. And he got the people pumped up, and they said, Lord, strengthen our hands for the work. I mean, they're ready to go. And boy, they get to work. Chapter 3, you'll see them working in their own area and getting the job done. Verse 6 of chapter 4, they're halfway there. The Bible says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. So they're doing pretty good, amen? But about halfway through, we got problems. We got attitude problems. We got depression problems. We got discouragement problems. How do you know, Brother Rigsby? Because I'm going to read the scripture to you. Verse 10, chapter 4, Nehemiah. And Judah said, now this is the same birds 26 days ago. If you read a little later, you'll see it took them 52 days, to get that wall built. If it had been me building it, it had been 52 years, I promise you. And Judah said, of all the tribes, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Their attitude stinks. It was great 26 days ago. But Satan comes along and causes an attitude change. By the way, put it on pause a moment. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. That's the 1950s and 60s. I remember, Tyler, when you preached about your daddy. My daddy had an attitude adjuster. He never heard a Spock. If he'd heard a Spock, he'd have paddled him too. It was a belt about 34 inches long. And he folded that thing, Brother Tommy, and he knew how to use it. That was my attitude adjustment. Some of you young kids have never been, oh, well, you don't know what you missed. Man. But their attitude, what did they do? They lost their strength. Look at it. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens decayed. We can't do this anymore. Not going to get it done. We've lost our strength. Notice the second thing. They lost their vision. There is much rubbish. Oh, my. I thought you were supposed to be looking on the wall and getting the wall built. They start looking at the wrong things. They get a bad attitude looking at the wrong thing. They see the rubbish. They lose strength. They lose vision. Thirdly, they lose their confidence. Look what it says. So that we are not able to build the wall. What an attitude. Boy, Nehemiah, better get rid of these dudes and go get some more guys, because they're not going to be doing it. They get a bad attitude. And fourthly, please notice, they've lost their security. Because they decide, they know the enemy's coming. The enemy's been threatening them. By the way, when you get close to doing something for the Lord, I promise you, God's going to fight you. I mean, Satan's going to fight you and turn you every which way but loose. If you haven't learned that, you're going to learn it. If that's Dr. Weaver, I'll call him later. Now, what's the answer to a right attitude with these people? Can I give it to you real quick? It's simply the Lord. It's the Lord. Lord can give us a right attitude about everything. And every day we need to pray for that. How do we get our strength back? A little bit later, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. Pastor preached last Sunday night. What? I can do all things through Christ, which what? strengthens me. We get our strength back by trusting the Lord. How do we get our vision back? Just simply look at the Lord. I won't sing it to you, but look upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look at his beautiful face and the things on earth. That's what gets us a bad attitude. The things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. How do we get confidence back? Glad you asked that. Go back to Psalm 118, please. I want you to see this. I could give it to you, but I want you to see it and hope you'll mark it in your Bible. Getting the right attitude back. Got to get a strength back. Got to get a vision back. Now we got to get a right attitude about our confidence. When I talk to a new convert, I usually tell them two things right at the start. When the doors of the church are open, be there. That's how I got my doctrine, folks, is in a church like this, listening to the Word of God. That's how I got it. Never been to Bible college, you can figure that out. But I got into God's house, and I listened to a man like Dr. Weaver and Dr. Barber and Dr. Fleming. And I cut my teeth on it, and I got it down. Okay? I tell them that, and then I tell them this. Don't put your confidence in man. Where'd you get that, Brother Rigsby? They say it's this middle verse of the Bible, Psalm 118 and verse 8. Would you look at it, please? It is better to trust in the Lord than to what? Read it to me. And to put confidence in man. Nehemiah was a wonderful leader. You want to study leadership? Greatest book on leadership is Nehemiah. But I'm telling you, they have to put their confidence. How do we get our strength back? How do we get our vision back? How do we get our confidence back? Trusting in the Lord and looking at the Lord. Fourth thing, how to get our attitude back about security. Down in, don't turn there because we're going to go to another psalm here in a minute, but Nehemiah, and when he was challenging him a little bit, he said, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. When you lose your confidence and when you lose your vision and when you lose your attitude, just remember what the Lord's done for you. And if he's done it past, he can do it again. Amen? To do it. Go to Psalm 27, please. You're there. Just go left a little bit. Trying to talk about getting an attitude right. Amen? Psalm 27. Talking about getting that security back. And really kind of fits security and confidence both. Psalm 27, first three verses. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Uh-oh, there's our strength, isn't it? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be, what's that word? Confident. We get our confidence back in the Lord. Attitude is determined by seeing things and circumstances and events as God sees them. Think about that a moment. You want a right attitude? You know, sometimes, Lord, why did this happen to me? Well, God's got a reason for it. Can't explain it now. You got to wait a little bit down the road, folks. Get a right attitude. See it as God would see it. We got a wonderful contrast in the Old Testament. Go to Genesis chapter 42, please. And we'll see the contrast. And we'll see, is the glass half empty or half full? Amen? Genesis 42. And we've been kind of stomping on old Jacob lately. I preached a little bit on that Wednesday night. And Brother Knickerbocker kind of hit on him a little bit this morning. Even though he did get his life right. He was called Israel. Amen? But you know the story. He's facing a real crisis. He's already, he thinks, lost his one son. And Joseph, you know the story. Joseph, remember the famine now, he's facing famine. Joseph starts, I'll use the expression, playing games with the brothers. And accusing them and putting their silver back in the bag. And finally he says, I want to see your younger brother. And in order to see your younger brother, I'm going to keep one of your brothers here till you bring your younger brother. I'll see if you're telling the truth or not. And so here's Jacob facing famine, lost his son Joseph, lost Simeon, I believe is what he kept, and now Benjamin. Look at verse 36 and look at his assessment. Talk about an attitude tonight that he had. Verse 36, chapter 42 of Genesis. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. He didn't know it at that time. And Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away? I can't imagine losing any of my children, but here's three of them. And then look what he says. Look at his attitude about the whole thing. And he says this, all these things are what? Against me. You see, he had a wrong attitude because he didn't see it through God's eyes. Now watch the contrast. The contrast is Joseph. Joseph, you know the story, and turn to just a couple of chapters over, chapter 45, please. And we'll look in a couple of verses here and see the contrast. But you know the story of Joseph. You talk about a tough time. Hatred. His brothers hated him. Rather than kill him, they put him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He's down in a pit. He's in despair. Discouragement. He finally rises almost to second command. And Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. And he winds up in the prison house. His brothers hate and resent him. I mean, he's been there. He's had some tests, didn't he? But I want you to look at his response. Chapter 45 and verse 8. I'm talking about getting a right attitude, seeing things through God's eyes and his plan. Verse 8 of chapter 45 says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but who? But God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Go to chapter 50 and verse 20. And here's the contrast. Chapter 50 and verse 20, I believe it is. You remember what Jacob said? All these things have worked against me. Bad attitude. Wrong attitude. Look what Jacob says in verse 20. But as for you, talking to his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. Someone has well said, that's Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. All those things, but Lord was working. He had a right attitude about getting things right and seeing things in God's eyes. Joseph saw and sensed God's working in all that he did. Been us, we'd have thrown in the towel. We'd had a bad attitude. We get mad at God. By the way, we get mad at God about things that God didn't have anything to do with. We brought it on ourselves, amen, to do it. How's your attitude tonight? I'm going to read one more thing, if I can find it. You probably all experience this. You go to work. Quite frankly, you've had a bad morning. Which you probably didn't start with the Lord. And you're in your office, and man, you're just down. You got a lousy attitude. Amen? Everybody been there? And you just got a bad attitude. And suddenly here comes a fellow worker in. They're whistling. They're singing. They're praising the Lord. And you want to just say, why don't you shut up? Come on. Amen? You know, we need some Jerrys in the church. Let me read you about Jerry. So Jerry's the kind of guy you love to hate. He's always in a good mood and always has something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he'd reply, if I were any better, I'd be twins. He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who had followed him from restaurant to restaurant. The reason the waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Seeing this style really made me curious. So one day I went up to Jerry and asked him, someone's writing this, I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all the time. How do you do it? Jerry replied, each morning I wake up and say to myself, Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaint or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life. Yeah, right, it's not that easy, I protested. Yes, it is, Jerry said. Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line, it's your choice how to live long. And Christians, can I emphasize that, please? How you live life. I reflected on what Jerry said. Soon thereafter, I left the restaurant industry to start my own business. We lost touch, but I often thought about him when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that Jerry did something you're never supposed to do in the restaurant business. Serve bad tomatoes. No, that's not what he did. He left the back door open one morning and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. While trying to open the safe, his hand, shaking from nervousness, slipped off the combination. The robbers panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly and rushed to the local trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullets still in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars?" I declined to see his wounds, but did ask him what had gone through his mind as the robbery took place. "The first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door," Jerry replied. "Then as I lay on the floor, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. I chose to live." "Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness?" I asked. Jerry continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine. But when they wheeled me into the ER and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' I knew I needed to take action." "What did you do?" I asked. "Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me," said Jerry. "She asked if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, "Bullets!" Over their laughter, I told them, "I am choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive and not dead." Jerry lived thanks to the skill of his doctors, and we know, of course, the Lord, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. I close with two questions. I know it's 10 minutes of 8. Ron has not given me this sign yet, so I'm safe. What's your attitude towards Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? By the way, speaking of attitude, isn't it a wonderful attitude Christ had towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? And I have another question. What's your attitude? And both of these could be full sermons developed. What's your attitude towards sin? Do you play with it? Do you mess with it, teenagers? The Pharaoh's going to be preaching. He's going to skin your hide, and good for him. One reason we have camps is to get you away from all the sinful junk that's out there. I'm not saying you're dabbling in it. I'm just saying to get you out and get your attention. But adults, we're the same way. What's your attitude towards sin? Is it as the Lord away from and try to have a good testimony and a good life? I hope you examine yourself tonight. Let's stand, please, and bow our heads. Attitude. How's yours tonight? It's really between you and the Lord, but for invitation, I'd simply say maybe some of you need to come to the altar and say, "Lord," and we're not going to judge you, and we're not going to question. You may come for a completely different reason. That's between you and the Lord. But maybe you've had a wrong attitude. Maybe teenager to your mom and dad. Maybe mom and dad to your teenager. Maybe somebody in church you've got a wrong attitude about, and you just need to go and say, "You know, I'm sorry." Maybe some of you are getting ready to walk in tomorrow and just tell your boss, "I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Be careful. You ain't got many pieces to give." Maybe you just need to come and say, "I want a right attitude about the Lord and about sin and hate the things God hates and love the things God loves." as we sing tonight, if God speaks to you, you come and come to the Lord and get that taken care of this morning, evening.